This podcast is brought to you by AMS. AMS is a premier substance use disorder facility in the Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. AMS specializes in outpatient counseling services for individuals struggling with substance use disorder. Evidence-based, client-centered care is their main focus. AMS offers over 30 different group therapy options a month, individualized counseling sessions, and the options of receiving medications assistance. AMS currently accepts Delaware and Maryland Medicaid, Medicare, and VA benefits. For help, call 302-227-1320 and schedule your intake appointment today. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. You can check out all of our podcasts. January 22nd, 2021, and it's Friday. Hope everyone is doing well. I mean, it's only 9 in the morning. How bad can it be? Unless it was bad last night. And, Jesus, a lot of damn noises being made here. Sorry about that. Yeah, it is Friday. Getting ready for the weekend. You know, went for a nice run this morning. You know, woke up to all the little demons. You can't run. Your back hurts. You're too tired. You just stay in bed. All these crazy little voices. You know, I usually run with Doc on Fridays because of that. I didn't hear from him, though. I hope he's all right. I didn't hear from him. But I also didn't call him. You know, part of me doesn't want to, you know, doesn't want to be held to the commitment. You ever do that? Make a commitment and then avoid the conversation so that you don't have to be held to the commitment? Well, I kind of did that last night. Well, I didn't. Listen, Doc and I said, we're going to run every Friday. No phone calls. We'll just run. But, you know, he may have had something come up. It's fine. He's awesome. So I ran by myself. Beautiful morning. I ran the other day. I don't think I did a podcast since that day on Wednesday. Oh, my. It was brutal. You know, I run with my buddy James and my buddy Brian. And I got up. You know, so we were going to run at 6:15. So I set my alarm for 5:15. And I woke up at 6:12. 6:12. That means that I have 3 minutes to get up and get ready. The reason that I get up an hour prior to running is because I'm struggling with a lot of little issues. You know, I got a back injury. I'm old, or older, I should say. You know, I'm getting arthritis, I think, in my back. It's bad. And there's a whole thing I have to do in the morning. I got to stretch. And the stretching is really, I just have to stretch out my hamstrings. But, you know, for the most part, the rest of my body's fine. It's just the back of my legs. They get really tight. I don't know if anybody's out there that has a back injury. You know, listen, if you know all about it and all the ways to help prevent the pain, you know, then ignore this. But I learned that my back injury, and I pulled my back doing deadlifting in 99. And so it's like the left side, one of the, you know, lower vertebrae, that's the disc is blown out. And but I had a client one day, she told me, she goes, the problem is your hamstrings are so tight. And I was like, well, my hamstrings are fine. What does that have to do with my back? And she says, well, they pull, they get tight and they pull, you know, they're like rubber bands, so sort of, and they get tight and they pull down, and they pull, like where they're connected, they kind of pull back. The back side of my hip by my ass, I guess, pulls down because, you know, picture like some sort of rubber band connected, you know, behind the back of your knee, up the back of your legs, into your pelvis, and it pulls them down, and which in turn creates a little stress on my back. And I was like, what? She goes, get on the ground. I was like, okay. So I'm laying on the ground in the middle of the salon. She grabs one of my legs and she just starts lifting it. You know, my back flat, so let's say she grabs my right leg, keeping my left leg flat, hands flat, everything flat. And she just starts lifting my other leg up, you know, me keeping it straight, and oh, it was very tight, and I didn't realize it. And she just really, you know, worked it over, you know, stretch, and then she goes, all right, when you get to the point where you can't stretch, just push it a little farther. And I'm like, yeah. And when she was done, my back did not hurt. I was like, what? So I learned something, you know. I learned that, and, you know, I'm not going to try to make this about life, but I guess it's sort of about life, you know. There's a lot of times that I'll be suffering from one thing, not understanding what's really causing it, you know, being under the impression that it's one thing when in the end it's another. And that's a big deal.
If you've ever known peace, if you've ever known joy, make sure that you are on time. If you've ever known war, if you've ever known pain, if you've ever said no, make sure that you are on time. You are on time. That you are on time. We are on time.
It is the case. It's the case a lot of the times. It's something other than what I think it is. It's is, you know, bringing me stress and anxiety in a relationship or in a friendship or just in a, you know, a relationship that you might have with someone just on a daily basis. You know, that's that part in the book which talks about Mr. Jones and, you know, this real hate for Mr. Jones. And not understanding what the hate is about. Just like my back and my hamstrings. You know, the you know, how long is it? I mean, I know back in, you know, prior to getting sober and prior to learning about like a program and just trying to figure out me, you know, I could really have a you know, a real hang up with someone and really see no end in it. Like, you know, that's it. Guy's dead to me. Person's dead to me. And then living with that. And if you're living a life with all these people that are dead to you, you're living If I'm living a life and I've made all these people dead to me, I'm living a life of constantly wondering what they're up to, what the problem was, what part did I play in it, and then at the very end, the frosting on the cake saying, I don't care, fuck him. And it's like being in the dark. You know, one of the interesting things about getting sober for me, and this might not be for everybody, but I know for me, I was at such a bottom. It's such a place that any sort of relationship, any sort of new friendship, if someone walked up and said, listen, the earth is flat, at that point I probably would have been like, okay, I'll go with that. Because these, you know, they're sober and they're 10 times better than the folks that I was hanging out with prior to finally getting sober. You know, and the people I was hanging out with were fine. It's just, you know, on a spiritual, moving forward kind of way, you know, not always the best people. And so, you know, I come into the program and I'm meeting all these, you know, from what I can gather, just normal people. And I'm like, this is awesome. and building relationships with people, and you know, thinking, you know, whatever said is what goes, because, you know, I've been such a shithead for so long. I really have nothing to bring. I'm not smart enough to add anything. You know, I'm just lucky that I'm here and that I'm having friends at all. I mean, that's how fucked up I was when I got sober. You know, if you live in the manure long enough, when you finally come out, you think the air is from God. And, you know, 20-something years of sobriety and 20 years of going to meetings, and, you know, I meet a lot of people. And early on, I was building up relationships with a lot of different people and thinking that, you know, what they say was the right thing. And, you know, you get sober and you get some time and you work a program, you work some steps, and you realize, man, everybody's not great, right? I mean, it talks about it in the book. If you are an asshole that drinks too much and quits drinking and doesn't use a program, you're just an asshole that doesn't drink. And I would say, in my experience, and this is no fault of any program, this is just humans. I think that we come in, I know that I came into this program, and as soon as I put down the drink, I moved up about 500 notches up the ladder, you know, in my mind. I'm like, that was my problem, now I can be awesome. Not understanding, right? I didn't have any understanding of this. I had no desire to fix anything or work on anything other than my ability to not be able to quit drinking. And that went away the first day. So you just hang out and you're building relationships, and then over time you start to work on ourselves, right? Take that magnifying glass and start picking ourselves apart, and you start wondering, why am I in some of these relationships that I'm in? You know? Listen, it's no fault of anybody's. We're all just doing the best we can. I get it, but, you know, don't put all of your eggs in one basket when it comes to sobriety, because there's a lot of fucking landmines out there. And, you know, people will come to you and they'll be like, listen, you're freshly sober, you're new to this, shut up, you got nothing to say, I'm going to tell you what to do, follow what I say. There's people in the program, they love that shit. This is their opportunity to finally be awesome. And some of them pop right up on stage of the program and start pointing fingers and directing and flipping pages and, you know, making notes. And it's like, whoa. And for a guy that was so new and so fresh and just grateful to even have a friend, I'm like, okay, I'll buy in. You know, one of the first experiences with this kind of behavior was one of the, a friend of mine at the time, one said, I'll sponsor you. I'll be your sponsor. I'm like, okay. And he's like, you need to have a black notebook. You need to be here at this time. You know, black notebook, two pencils, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, all right. Still, you know, relatively new to not drinking. So I show up with a notebook and some pencils or whatever, a pen. I told you. And I'm like, dude, whatever. And I get it. You know, I get what the point of it is to, you know, teach me to follow directions. Who cares what I think? I've been told, follow directions. And until I can surrender that, I don't want to get sober. And you know, listen, part of that's true. There is part of that is true. But to me, it's a fine line. And the nice thing about this, you know, a program like this and working on trying to get sober is there's a lot of people that can help us. You know, there's a lot, you know, the area that I live in, there's a lot of sobriety here. So, you know, find, you know, if you have that temporary sponsor or you've got a sponsor, but, you know, get a group of men, find a men's group, or if you're a female, find a group of females. You know, start having more than one source of information. you'll start to kind of get the flow of it. You know, certain folks will stand out as more difficult or maybe a little more self-motivated, you know, trying to make them feel good. And then you have people like kind of how I got, you know, kind of, I won't say at the end of my sobriety because I'm still sober, but, you know, you go through phases, you know, you go through, I mean, if you go to a meeting every day for years, you get a little burned out, right? Then you go to new meetings and then you see people coming and going and then all of a sudden you get a little cynical. And then I started being like very judgmental. Oh, he's not going to make it. It doesn't say to do that. That's me. That's ego, right? Like I know something that these people don't know. It's like I think I might be at a higher level in sobriety or I'm, you know, I've been around longer, so clearly, you know, some people think if they go to a meeting every day for 10 years, they know more. And I've seen people go to meetings every day for 10 years and don't participate. It's almost like something better to do. And meetings, and I've talked about this before, meetings aren't supposed to be fun. Now, you can have a good time. You know, I know when I first got sober, I mean, anything was better than what I was doing. So it felt good. It was fun. You know, there was some laughter. You know, I'm not saying that it shouldn't be enjoyable, but meetings aren't a fun alternative. They're not a thing, right? I've always said to myself, if a meeting is better than what I was doing, then it's a social event. But it should be, you know, I'm at home, I'm with my family, I'm enjoying all the fruits of being sober and hopefully some serenity or peace. And now I've got to pull myself away from that and get to a meeting. It should be annoying. Kind of, it should suck. You know, I got to go to a meeting. Blah, it's cold, blah, blah. Yeah, that's what we do. That's it. That's the trick. It's that, you know, that fork in the road. What should I do or what do I, me, self, want to do? I, me, self, wants to stay home with family and enjoy all the fruits of my hard work and being sober. But the reality is I need to do what I should do, which is be inconvenienced, have to get dressed, go out in the cold, go down to the meeting, drink the shitty coffee, share all the stuff. We should share. Hey, my name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic. That's all I got. Hey, my name is Tom. I'm an alcoholic. I'm just grateful to be here. That's all I got. You know, you just, you know, and up until the point before your mouth opens, you're like, I want to be so, you know, deep. I want to save the room. I want to be so profound. Everyone who comes up to me after the meeting goes, thank you for your share. That was great. That's what I want. And then all of a sudden, well, I'm like, well, are these words going to take me there? Is this share going to do it? I don't know. Ah, let's not share. I mean, all this conversation is self, right? It's the self side of you. Self don't want to be embarrassed. Self doesn't want to look bad. Self wants to do the least amount of work for the most amount of glory. That's what self is. And it is, until you get some time, it's an interesting little nightmare we go through. I know I go through. And I got to this point where I started saying, oh, I don't think this guy's going to make it. Listen, oh, really? Really? I mean, this one meeting I was going to before the pandemic, this person, and I've probably talked about this. It was annoying to me, though. This person put a can in the middle of the table and said, it was a cuss can. And it said, if you cuss, you have to put money in the can. Really? Fuck that. Put my money in the can. But that's not part of, you know, it's not a rule. It's not part of the rules of AA. It's not one of the traditions. And it doesn't say it. They always say, you want to start a meeting? Grab the traditions and go find a spot. It doesn't say in the traditions, oh, hey, now, if there's over excessive cussing, you might want to put a can. At AA, we'd like to put a can out and collect cuss money. Doesn't say that. That was somebody's fucking ego getting involved. That's what happens. You know, I can tell you the person that came up with that cuss can, he didn't come up with that cuss can or that thought in the first year. That's what happens to people that have been around a while and sober. They come up with cuss cans and pillow meetings and bagel meetings and fucking half light, dark meetings, candle meetings, beach meetings, mountain meetings, field meetings, you know, tent meetings, hot meetings, cold meetings. It's like ego meeting, ego meeting, ego meeting, ego meeting. Let's do a meeting on the beach and we'll settle on and enjoy the sunrise. That's great. Doesn't say that in the traditions, though. Meetings should suck. If I'm enjoying the meeting more than I'm enjoying what I was doing prior to before, then I, like I said, that's a social event. The hugging. It's great. I love hugs. I love, you know, I do. And it's weird because you can't, it's a fine line. And I guess I'm bringing it up because, not that I'm complaining, but I think that I realized that when I figured that, you know, meetings should suck, everything that is important to me or everything that I do that creates growth is really inconvenient or kind of sucky. And everything that is easy, that makes me feel great, the minimum amount of work for the least amount, or the least amount of work for the most amount of gain, that's usually driven by self. And in the end, it doesn't last. You know, and you find people, you know, that, like me, I'm annoyed. I won't go to that meeting because of that cuss can. I just think that is a, it's just annoying. And that's my sickness. That's my self right there. But that's the kind of stuff that they want people to be careful about, you know, when it comes to like meetings and stuff. I talked about, you know, the coffee commitment. Come in, make some coffee, put out the creamer, put out a sugar, a spoon, a couple napkins, and a cup of water, and sit down. It doesn't even say we have to have coffee. Somebody came up with that idea. I can see maybe in the early days people coming in drunk to try to sober them up. Nobody's coming in drunk. I mean, I remember a guy came in drunk and he's like, what the fuck is this man? And I was like, oh my God, this guy's drunk. He needs to get out of here. I'm like, this is exactly where he needs to be. But everybody was uncomfortable. Hey, man. You know, I don't know if they walked him out or whatever it was, but everybody was uncomfortable because it was a drunk man at an AA meeting. Can you imagine what it was like, those first meetings? People on the floor passed out. I mean, you know, yeah, they probably needed some coffee, but now it's just comfort. Coffee and some cookies. But that's not required. And it can be a trap. I've seen people fall into it. I've seen people stop coming to meetings over that kind of stuff. The guy, all of a sudden, his wife starts baking cookies for the meeting. He's, you know, hey, everybody, I got new cookies, you know, and everybody's like, oh. But the disease, it's not about the drink, it's the disease. And the disease shows up when you start feeling like you're not being recognized for the amazing level that you've taken the cookie, or actually the coffee commitment. Because I remember bringing in the cream and, you know, just really loving it. I've seen this happen several times. I was actually sponsoring a guy that, you know, was, yeah, same thing, making special cookies and all this stuff. And then when the people stopped appreciating, because, you know, most normal sober people are like, hey, yeah, thank you, it's a cookie, it's good, thanks. And if they're really, if they got some time, they probably know, man, this is dangerous. But they just, you know, thank you, it's a cookie. The people get upset, and they get that resentment, the disease side. And then the disease side's like, they don't appreciate you, they don't recognize you, I'm out of here. And the worst part is nobody else knew anything about it. You know, it's all in our head. But I think the biggest challenge is trying to understand, when is it time to surrender? I mean, how long can we be an asshole? I mean, what's your record? I mean, do you have a resentment that, or do you have a relationship that ended because of something and you still have not put it back together? Because I know prior to being sober, that was like a badge of honor. Fuck that guy. But you don't understand that hating that guy, you know, distancing ourselves from that guy, cutting off communication from that guy, it's, you know, that stuff is little bits of baggage that we carry around. You know? Like, I just couldn't quite have any success with that. But getting sober and trying to find serenity, you know, I try to clean that stuff up. Sometimes to a fault. You know, people are like, well, you know, how come you get to kind of be an asshole and then think you can just come over here and say, man, I apologize, I was an asshole, and be clear of it? How do you get that luxury? And they're right. And not everybody, you know, hopefully today, you know, I don't have as many of these situations, but, you know, you apologize, and not, you know, not everybody's that willing to accept your apology. You have to surrender to that too. But how long can you carry around a resentment like that? How long can you break up a relationship? You know, I have a friend of mine, I'll keep him, I won't say his name, but, you know, due to some things that went on with my father, in fact, he actually got in a fight with my dad. We're not friends anymore. He stormed out, and I was okay with it. But there's part of me that says, hey, why don't you call him and say, listen, that's silly. I mean, we've been friends for fucking 20 years. But, you know, my phone ain't ringing either. And he's got, you know, 20-something years of sobriety. He's super sober, right? He should have called and said, listen, man, regardless, whoever was in the wrong, let's squash that. You know, I can be better. You can probably do better. I didn't even do anything. All I said to him was, you had to have said something. And he's like, I didn't say anything. Fuck this. And stormed out. And I haven't spoken with him since. Doesn't matter. But, you know, you would think at some point you get, after 20-something years of being sober, you say, listen, man, I don't know what that was about. I don't know your dad. He's tough. He'll say shit. He says shit to me. I want to freaking whack him with a frying pan sometimes. We can all agree that my dad is tough when it comes to certain things, you know, usually politics, and that's what this was about. But you would think after 20-something years, we could say, hey, you know, silly. Let's not something like that ruin our friendship. No, neither one of us have made the call. Part of me is like, you know what? I gave you 20-something years. You know? I don't know. And then when something like that goes on, then you start listing all the shit that you fucking can't stand about the person or to find annoying, right? Just to build your case. Because you're building a case to the committee upstairs. I come before the committee, and here's my case. Okay, he did this and this and this. And the committee's like, yeah, no friendship. Shit, you know, I'm sober. And sometimes I find myself thinking about him. What's he up to? How's he doing? How come I didn't clean that up? It's kind of, I don't know. Oh, let's see. How much time we got? Oh, shit. Let's read something. Reading and wrapping it up. Here we go. Daily Reflections. January the 22nd, 2021. What could possibly be talked about today? Oh. Uh-oh. Oh, did I lose it? Oh, here we go. All right. January 22nd, 2021. Let's keep it simple. Makes sense. A few hours later, A few hours later, I took my leave of Dr. Bob. The wonderful old broad smile was on his face as he said almost jokingly, "Remember, Bill, let's not louse things up. Let's keep it simple." I turned away, unable to say a word. That was the last time I ever saw him. After years of sobriety, I occasionally ask myself, can it be this simple? Then at meetings, I see former cynics and skeptics who have walked the AA path out of hell by packaging their lives without alcohol into 24-hour segments, during which they practice a few principles to the best of their individual abilities. And then I know again that I, while it isn't always easy, if I keep it simple, it works. That's very true. I love that. I can, you know, just share thoughts and then read a daily reflections, and it usually kind of ties together. And that's kind of what I'm saying, is that, you know, we can make things so freaking complicated. And when you get too complicated, you put yourself out there, and that's where, you know, resentments can be found, or resentments. You know, if you keep a meeting simple, coffee, a cookie if you want, I guess. I used to buy dollar store cookies, you know, when it was my commitment. I'd just go buy, or just Keebler or a cookie, a chocolate chip cookie, something very simple, package, you know, a cookie and some coffee and sugar and cream, and there it is. Let's keep it simple. If you're mad at these cookies, yell at Keebler. And I always love, you know, when someone has a problem, you say, you can take the commitment if you like it. I don't know. That's what I try to do today. Just keep it simple. You know, keep in it. I don't know what I'm going to do about that relationship. I'm at peace with it, honestly. I really am. I think the relationship was built or started when I very first got sober, and I drank the Kool-Aid, and I listened, you know, over years you keep listening, and at some point you're like, listen, I think I'm good. And maybe that friendship was really just about, you know, finding sobriety.